Our study this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. Let's notice the context of our study as we look at the background and the history of Israel. You'll see when Saul became king of Israel, this was because the children of Israel desired a king like the nations around them. And God permitted them to have a king, but he chose Saul, who reigned for 40 years. This was 1 Samuel 10:24. Now, following Saul to the throne was David, as we all know, and he reigned 40 years, 2 Samuel 2:4, as he began his reign. Then David's son Solomon followed him to the throne, and he also reigned 40 years as he began his reign in 1 Kings 1:39. Now, Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he reigned in his father's stead, 1 Kings 11:43. The tragic situation here was Rehoboam, instead of taking the advice of the older men who gave him wise advice, served the people. Yes. Instead, he took the advice of the younger men who he ran with, and they wanted him to be strict. And thus, this is 1 Kings 12:8 through 11, and thus Israel rebelled against Rehoboam, and they made Jeroboam their king over the nation of then of Israel, as it's called, the 10 northern tribes, and the southern tribes of Benjamin and Judah remained under Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12:19 through 24. Simeon would be a part of the northern kingdom, which was south of Judah. So that made 10 tribes. Now, this was the beginning of the divided kingdom, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. So our text is concerning Jeroboam, who sought convenience because he had no conviction. So we want to notice the changes that Jeroboam made and ask the question, are some of our brethren making the similar changes today? Well, we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we remember the initials PFE to help us strive to do that every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to John 4:24, in spirit and in truth, thus with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern. I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. And something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please contact us. We'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number is area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning. A case of convenience rather than conviction. And we'll go now to verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 12. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And that would have been on the Jabbok River. And verse 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Now notice, he said that in his heart. So he has a heart problem, as we're going to see. So this is his thinking. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now how tragic is that? Jeroboam changed the worship of God. Number one. Yes, he changed the worship of God to the worship of calves, just like the children of Israel did after they left Egypt. They got impatient while Moses was up at the mount. Exodus 32, 1 through 4. So they got their jewelry together, the gold, melted it down, and Aaron was told, Up, make us gods. So he made a molten calf. Remember that? Well, how sad for God's people so soon to be released from bondage to want to go back to Egypt. That makes no sense, does it? Well, when the tablets of stone were renewed, notice what God said in Exodus 34, 14. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. We need to keep that in mind as well. Today, of course. Before the Israelites entered into the promised land, Moses warned Israel not to turn away from God. But they did. Deuteronomy 11, 16, Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods, little g, and worship them. Today, to apply the lesson here, many worship calves of gold, such as money, pleasure, material possessions, and sometimes people. Yes, and the Word of God gets choked out by these types of thorns. Well, when Satan tempted Jesus, notice Matthew 4, 9 and 10, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, as Satan took Jesus up high to look out over all the land. And notice, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's right. We need to implant that in our minds and follow after Christ. God must come first. He is worthy. God is worthy, is he not? And we all should say, of course he is. Then let's put him first in his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. And we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Yes, of course. And that's from Matthew 22:37. Well, let's notice another change that Jeroboam made. And this is in verse 29. And he did set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So he set these golden calves way up north and way in the south of Israel. Yes, Dan and Bethel. So he changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to, yes, Dan and Bethel. Notice 2 Chronicles 6:6, But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Well, notice in the New Testament, as Jesus was at Jacob's well, talking to a Samaritan woman, and she was surprised that he would do that, and she said, this is verse 20 of John 4, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Yes, the Samaritans did. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, that was correct. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Of course, now we don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship God, but we can worship God on the first day of the week where Christians gather together, but follow the pattern, and do so in spirit and in truth thus. But at this time, Jerusalem was the place of worship, and Jeroboam had changed that. Now, to make a lesson from this, some today, even some of our brethren in the Lord's church, say everything you do is worship. So they're changing the place of worship in that sense. I ran into this while I was working in Russia as a preacher, and Brother Cliff Lyons and I worked together very well, and we were at a meeting in Moscow. Brother Cliff had gone to the restroom, and I was discussing this very situation with one of the liberal preachers there in our brotherhood, and he was believing that everything you do is worship. And when Brother Cliff came out of the restroom, I said, "You mean to tell me that Brother Cliff has been worshiping?" Well, he didn't give much of an answer, I'll tell you that, because it's ludicrous to think that everything you do is worship. I think we all should be able to see that. You see, in Genesis 22:5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." There was a place that Abraham was going to worship. And we remember that situation, do we not? Matthew 2:2, "Saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." The wise men were going to go to a place to worship him, where he was at, of course, the Lord. Excuse me. And here's another problem. Some divide the worship assembly, such as children's church, where you take the children out of the worship service and put them in a different place, and divided groups meeting in different homes instead of coming together to worship God on the day that God has set up. That would be the first day of the week. You see, in 1 Corinthians 11:20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place." Well, they were having difficulties there in Corinth, the Church of Christ. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, you see, they came together, the Christians did, to one place to worship God. And we're to do that today. The first century Christians did that. It's for us today. You must come together to have an assembly. We should all recognize that. Look at Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Now, who missed that? And some were doing that, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to come together to worship God scripturally in accordance to the New Testament pattern, praying, singing, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of our means, and of course, preaching. Well, we'll have more to say about that in a moment. But look at 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You see, upon the first day of the week, they were to come together and give of their means. But let's go on in our study this morning of 1 Kings 12:30. We'll pick back up. "And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan." Well, notice verse 31. "And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi." Another change. Jeremiah Jeroboam changed the priesthood. Changed the priesthood from the tribe of Levi to the lowest of the people. In other words, whom he wanted to be a priest. In Numbers 3, 6 through 10, you can see there the duties of the priest from the tribe of Levi. In verse 10, "And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." That's the seriousness of staying with the pattern God gave during the time, of course, of the Mosaic covenant God made with Israel. So, notice, some of our brethren today want to allow the Christian priesthood to be open unto the denominations. We need to understand something here. We love all these people, by the way, and we want to see them, of course, learn the truth and obey it and get out of error. Don't ever think that we don't care about them. But here's the point. All Christians are priests. Holy priesthood. Royal priesthood. This is in 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, but spiritual, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, we need to understand, yes, that every Christian is a priest. And the royal priesthood, of course, is the church of Christ, a holy nation. That's that one true church. You see, in John 10, verse 9, to be a Christian, one must go through the door, capital T, capital D, the door. As we see in, go back to verse 1 of John 10. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold," that would be the church, "but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." But verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So we must go through the door. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Yes. John 14:6. We all should understand that. Jesus said, "There shall be one fold and one shepherd," John 10:16, the same chapter, where he said, "I am the door." There's one fold, that is one church. Well, did not Jesus promise to build my church? Singular, not plural. Matthew 16:18, he certainly did. And thus, the church of, he possesses it, the church of Christ. That's a spiritual designation. It's not just something man came up with. That's a scriptural designation. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. And since Jesus said, "I will build my church," he possesses it. He's the builder. He's the foundation. It's his body. Look at Ephesians 4:4. How many bodies? There is one body. That's what we need to understand from God's word, and not change what God has set forth. Don't be like Jeroboam, changing the priesthood. We're not to do that. Of course not. Let's stay with the scriptures. Now, notice verse 32 as we go back to 1 Kings 12. "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made." Well, let's go ahead and finish out the chapter. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even the month which he had devised of his own heart. There we are. The problem started in his heart. And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So what do we have here? Jeroboam, number 4, changed the day of the feast. He changed the Feast of Tabernacles from the 7th month to the 8th month. If we go back to Leviticus 23:34, what do we find? Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. That's right. That's what God set forth. Jeroboam has now changed that. How does he have the right to do so? Well, he doesn't. What about today? There's those that want to change the Lord's Supper from the first day of the week to whenever it suits them. Is that right? Well, of course not. How often should we partake of the Lord's Supper, communion? Well, what does the Bible tell us? Notice Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, what did they come together for? To worship God. And in this verse it says to break bread. That's partaking of the Lord's Supper. That's a part put for the whole. They would do all the acts of worship. But certainly the Lord's Supper was included, wasn't it? Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. So what did they do? They did what God set forth for them to do in worship. They didn't change it, as some want to do today. And some think you can have communion once every 6 weeks or every quarter or however they want to do it. Are they not like Jeroboam? He changed the day of the feast, and these folks are changing what God set forth to be done in the worship service. And we're not to do that. We have no right. Just as the early church partook of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, so are we to do so as we worship God according to the pattern of the New Testament. You see, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we mentioned earlier, concerning the collection for the saints, as I had given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, the denominational world recognizes that the offering needs to be done every first day of the week. Well, be consistent. We need to understand, well, get out of the denomination, of course, and obey the gospel and become a child of God, and added by the Lord to his body, the true church, as we read about in the Bible. You see, but the point is here, they don't have a problem understanding this verse is to be every first day of the week. But you see the inconsistency when the Lord's Supper is done whenever man makes that decision. That's just not right, is it? Well, of course not. So, what have we learned today? We've learned that Jeroboam made changes to God's pattern. He, first of all, changed the worship from God to golden calves. And that's really getting away completely from God, isn't it? Just right there. We need not go any further, but certainly we have lessons from the other changes. He changed the place of worship. They were to worship it in Jerusalem, in the under the law of Moses. And that was nailed to the cross, of course, when Christ died. And the new law, the law of Christ, became effective, which we're under today. So we're not having to go to Jerusalem. Now, he also changed the priesthood to whomever he wanted. Instead of the tribe of Levi, That would be the priestly tribe. You see, he didn't want to do that because the Levites would stay there with the southern kingdom, Judah. And then we noticed he changed the day of the Feast of Tabernacles from the seventh month to the eighth month. And people that change God's pattern today of worship, how God has set forth for it to be done, are they not doing the same thing that Jeroboam did? Well, I would say that's the case. Would you not say it as well? So, as we close out our study this morning, what is our attitude towards worship? John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is not an optional matter. Of course not. And as we started out, you know, this is a case of convenience rather than conviction with Jeroboam. He didn't have any conviction. He was going by convenience, whatever served his purpose. So what about us in our attitude towards worship? Is it a matter of conviction, going by the Word of God and having that desire to do God's will? Or is it a matter of convenience? That's the lesson for us. Notice Joshua was, he was convicted. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's right. That's the way to be. Joshua 24:15. Paul, he was convicted. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, he prayed to God to remove his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul realized then, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I need God. And this thorn in the flesh will remind me that I need God. And he accepted God's answer, which we should do if God answers our prayers, no. He may answer yes, he may answer yes, but not now. And he may answer no, and his will be done should be our attitude. Thy will be done. Notice Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was ready to die. We need to be that way as well, but continue to live for Christ as we have life on this earth. Philippians 1:21. But here's the negative example. Felix, in the New Testament, remember Paul was speaking to Felix, and he was concerned with what? Convenience. Acts 24:25, and as he reasoned, Paul did, of righteousness, temperance, that would be self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Did he ever call for Paul? It's not going to be convenient when Christ comes again for those who are not convicted. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel and studying further. We have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins and make the good confession, and be immersed into a watery grave to contact the precious blood of Christ. And as we come out of that watery grave, walk in newness of life, the Lord will add us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.